if you want to send or contribute to this ministry, you can write to us at 3060 14th Avenue South, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yes, Lord.
Zip code 33712. Now.
This is Brenda Martin.
And John DeSanza from Entertainment in the Arts.
Join us on our new day and time, Tuesdays from 8 to 9 p.m. for lots of fun and the latest information on the arts in Tampa Bay and beyond.
Right here on WTAN AM 1340. Don't forget.
There's a river I want to swim in. There's a river I want. It's the river, river of anointing. It's the river, oh, the river of God. There's a river,
there's a river
I wanna swim in.
I wanna swim in.
There's a river,
there's a river
I wanna live in.
Welcome, everyone, to that river of anointing as it flows through this show from Beacon of Hope Ministries, Living the Good Life. And we are here today, live in the studio on this first Sunday of December of 2009. And we're excited to be here, are
Amen.
We not, Pastor Jim?
Amen.
Pastor Jim Ellsbury, my associate's right here. He's a wonderful guy. And beside him, our music leader, worship leader, Marla DeFries. So good to have you both on the show. Sometimes, seems like a lot of times you two end up on the same Sunday, don't you,
yeah.
as contributors. That's all right. You get along good, so, right? You're not...
Praise God.
Yeah, praise God. We're so glad you guys have joined us. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. You are with us, we hope, for the next 90 minutes on Living the Good Life, and we are excited about this topic. But before you say it, is there ever a time that I'm not excited about the topic? I don't know. Can
not
you think?
Ever since I've known you.
Me either.
No, I really do. I'm always excited about what God, because it's fresh. And here's my point. It's fresh. It's the fresh anointing
right.
that God brings to us, because He, the Holy Spirit within us, tells us, directs us, encourages us, leads us into what He wants done for this show.
Right.
And it's just exciting. And today we've got some powerful stuff here that's really going to help you live a better, more productive, more positive, more
faith-building,
anointed. Pastor Jim, I want you to define anointing for our listening audience, if you will, right now.
Well, the word itself means to pour oil, to smear oil on
okay.
somebody. And it was in the culture of the Middle East, it was, first of all, just kind of a hygienic sort of thing. But it
okay.
also was used always for the anointing of prophets, the anointing of kings.
Yes.
You would pour oil on them because it's a setting apart. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit
Amen.
Coming upon that person
yes.
to enable them to fulfill their office, whether it be prophet, priest, or king.
Right. Exactly. And it was so that tradition, that way of doing things was set apart. That set apart was done clear back in the Old Testament.
Oh,
with,
yeah.
With David and
the
kings.
All the chief priests.
Right.
You know, Aaron, Aaron was set apart that same way. And each of his elder sons were set apart
right.
that way to be the high priest. Some of the prophets, Elisha, you know.
Right. But it doesn't just apply to Old Testament prophets, does it?
No.
The anointing of God is the very presence of God. Marla, you know when you feel it, don't you?
Right. When the Holy Spirit just comes and just wells in you and takes over.
It does.
It's a high that you've never experienced before and want more of it.
Right. Yeah. It's when you just feel the presence. And we've been using that theme song since we've been on the air 2.5 years now, since about... maybe the third or fourth month of this show, we switch to that theme song that we have on all the time. And it talks about the river of God's anointing,
right. mm-hmm.
which is it's like a river. It flows, you know, and it flows to you and through you and changes you. And it's powerful, isn't it?
It is.
So we want to walk in that river of anointing. We want to walk in His presence. We want to feel God moving in our lives, don't we? I don't know about you, but there's nothing like it. There's no better. You just said, Marla, hi.
Yeah.
There's no better feeling and no better knowledge and inner strength that comes from that anointing, mm-hmm. that just propels you forward into.
It's charismatic.
It's charismatic.
When you see someone infiltrated with the Holy Spirit, just filled to the maximum, you want to be with that person. You want some of it. It's contagious.
It's contagious. Yes. Wow. Don't you think Jesus, when he walked this earth, was just anointed, walking around? But I mean, we know he walked around and healed people.
Well, the scripture says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. And he went about doing good, healing the sick, and delivering people of demon possession.
Exactly.
And
that's Acts 10:38. Yeah. That's a great verse.
And that kind of anointing does one of two things. Either you're drawn to it, and I agree. I mean, a lot of people really like that. Or you run away from it. It scares you. And
right.
I mean, because when Jesus was on earth, of course, people saw that anointing, and either they were drawn to him, or some of the religious leaders accused him of being, you know, the devil's tool. You know, they twisted it all around and said, "This isn't God."
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Wow. Well, we're going to talk about that anointing today, and we are also going to talk, break it down into practical living and what God suggests for us and how we can live a more victorious life, if you will. A life that's not so bogged down by all the stuff going on every day, because we all have those things going on, right. Do we not? Oh, I mean, life is hard, right? I mean, life is difficult. We've had tremendous answers to prayer. God is moving mightily in our ministry, our global ministry. We are seeing tremendous answers to prayer.
Amen.
And people how can they get a prayer request into our prayer team, Pastor Jim?
By sending your prayer request to prayers or prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries.
IES.com. Right. What happens when they email and they type out a request?
You send in the email, and then Deb and Alice, who are the heads of our prayer team, will take that and send out the prayer request to the entire prayer team. And prayer team is kind of scattered all over the country. It's a great thing. But also what they do, which is really cool, is usually they put in type up a prayer for you to pray regarding whatever the prayer request is. So you don't even have to really, I don't want to say you don't have to think about it, but if you don't know how to pray, there's
right.
at least a prayer
Isn't
there
great?
For
yes.
you to be able to pray.
Right. So you pray that in agreement with
In agreement
all these
with everybody
people.
Else. And of course, that's scriptural. Jesus said, if any two or more of you agree as touching any one thing, I will do it.
Exactly. So we encourage people to join. Marla, mm-hmm. does it bless you to see the requests that come across and the praise reports?
Well, as it is written, if two or more gather in his name,
yes.
anything you ask, it shall be done. And so I know that prayer, two or more have prayed it. And so
right.
by just praying it, we're coming into agreement. We're
yes.
in unity.
Yes.
And it's powerful.
God loves it when
Definitely.
We pray his word.
Amen.
And most of the prayers, the prayers that are written are based on the word of God. And usually scripture is thrown right in there so we can be praying that word and agreeing on it. So we encourage you out there. We don't want you to feel that you have no one to turn to. That's a lot of negatives right there. Let's do it positively.
You have someone to turn to when you have
you
a prayer need.
Exactly. And all you have to do is write prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. And somebody can and will get back to you and will pray with you and also
Absolutely.
Get that request out there. That's exciting. This is the Christmas season of 2009, and it just seems like the years are flying by, right?
I think Florida's in some sort of time warp.
It just moves quicker?
It just moves
Maybe
faster.
It's because you're getting older.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Oh, no. That wasn't even fair as I sit here, the oldest one at this table right now. So anyway, we are glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. It's going to be a great show. Listen, we're going to open with Wynonna singing It's the Messiah, which tells us who Jesus is.
It must have been something being born in a manger. With the sheep from the fields and the stars shining over your head. It must have been something. Seeing three wise men. On their knees before a newborn, with their eyes all aglow, and in their hearts they know it's the Messiah. He's the Bethlehem. It's the must have been something. Speaking the word of your Father. With the promise of life and peace forever. Walk on the streets of Jerusalem. With the sins of the world on the innocence of a man. Soon everyone will know it's the Messiah. He's come.
That is a great
song. Praise God. What a song.
What a way to start the show. Winona singing about the Messiah, Jesus. We're starting the month of December. We're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus all month long.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to talk about it. And for those of you that have your Bibles and aren't driving down the road, let's start out in Luke chapter 1 a moment, and then we will eventually go back to Isaiah 9 about Jesus and the prophecies of his being born. In Luke chapter 1, God decided to prepare people's hearts for the Messiah. And one of the ways he did that is, clear back in the Old Testament, he began to prepare people with prophecy. And in the book of Isaiah, we see a lot of prophecy about the fact that God was going to send his son to this earth. And God, you know, it's kind of cool, I think, you know, the way God did not just, bam, there he was. He kind of gave people a hint, you know. Okay, well, we got something great getting ready to happen here. You know, God is going to come to this earth in human form, and he's going to be born in a manger. And in order to get all that and set, it's kind of like setting the stage. You know, in real estate that I do full time along with ministry, we stage houses sometimes that are vacant. You know, we'll get some furniture and we'll put some things in and we'll make them look a little nice and all
that.
Sell
this house.
Yeah, so that they just look a little better. Well, God kind of set the stage here for the coming of his son Jesus. And he did that through the birth of a little boy named John. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. And John had a daddy. And his name was Zechariah, And we pick up in the story, and Zechariah is a priest, and he's in the priestly line. And he's older, and he has a wife, and her name is Elizabeth. And Zechariah and Elizabeth have tried for years to have children, and they cannot have children. And so there came a point in time where Zechariah was called upon as one of the priests to go in, and it was a one-time, one-shot deal where he got to go into the Holy of Holies and do the priestly work. And so it came to that time, and we are in Luke chapter 1, and it was his turn in life, it says. I like that in the Message Bible. It was his turn in life to enter the sanctuary of God and burn the incense. And the congregation was gathered, and they were all outside. And Zechariah goes in to do his work. And Pastor Jim and Marla, feel free to jump in here. And as he's in there, suddenly, and the Message Bible says, in about verse 12, unannounced. Luke 1, about verse 12, unannounced. In other words, God did not warn Zechariah that something great was going to happen that day when he went to work. And it was unannounced. And an angel of God appeared, and the angel has a name. And this angel appeared just to the right of the altar of incense and sat there. And Zechariah was, according to verse 12 of Luke 1, paralyzed in fear. Now, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love,
and a sound mind.
And a sound mind. Okay.
Although you wonder if Zechariah didn't think he'd lost his sound mind.
Because he's in there doing his...
He's just burning the incense and worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden, there's this angel.
And the angel has a name. And his name is Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
And so the angel begins to talk to Zechariah. And he says in verse 13 of Luke 1, I've heard your prayer. Your prayer's been heard. God heard your prayer. Elizabeth, your wife, will bear a son by you. You are to name him John. And I pointed out this morning, there's only 7 times in the Word of God that God told people ahead of time what to name their child. One was Jesus, one was this John, and then there are 5 others. So John was named by God because John means Jehovah has favor. Isn't that what it means?
Jehovah has favor, Jehovah has grace.
Jehovah's favor, Jehovah has grace. Okay, so this is what God wanted to name this little boy. Now, Zechariah and Marla and Pastor Jim, since you kind of are up on this story right now, did Zechariah operate in a lot of faith here and like, oh, wow, God finally answered our prayers?
No.
Marla, that was a quick answer. Oh, why did he not just buy it when the angel said this to him?
Well, he was up in age for one.
Okay.
And he just could not believe that they were going to have a son.
Right.
Okay.
And Elizabeth was up in age,
right. Okay.
His wife, and she was past childbearing.
They were both, yeah.
That's what the natural, I would say.
Right. So it seemed like an impossible situation. They had been praying and believing God for years for a child, right? And it just seemed impossible. And all of a sudden, the angel says, you're going to have a son. And not only are you just going to have a son, but you are going to have the messenger from God that is going to prepare the way for the birth of the Son of God. And really what he begins to say about John here, I'm in about verse 15, is he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment he leaves his mother's womb. And he's going to turn many sons and daughters of Israel back to God, and he will herald God's arrival in the style and strength of Elijah. He'll get the people ready for God. Why was that important that God sent a forerunner, a predecessor? Why did God do this? What's going on there?
Well, I like where it says, you know, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. That was John's whole mission, was to get out there. And, it, you know, when you read in the Gospels about what John did, he preached repentance, and he said, prepare the way of the Lord.
Right.
Get your hearts ready because the Messiah is coming.
Wow.
The Messiah is coming. And his whole ministry was prophesied. You mentioned it before. You talked about Isaiah. And John the Baptist's ministry was prophesied by the prophet Malachi.
Right.
You know, he said, I'm going to send my messenger before me and before the great and glorious day of the Lord. He'll come in the spirit and the power of Elijah.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what John the Baptist did.
And interesting, I think it's interesting that God in his wisdom picked this family, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Elizabeth was the first cousin of Mary, who was the mother of Jesus. Kind of kept it in the family. But one thing that I felt like God was saying to me yesterday when I was kind of working on this was, look at the hearts of these two women. The hearts of these women were already in contact with God. These were not random choices where God just said a lottery. Okay, let's see, which two women am I going to pick? These two cousins knew God, Elizabeth and Mary. They were ready for God to do something in them. You know, they had hearts after God, you know? And don't you wonder sometimes about people that you see or children that you see that just seem to have a heart after God from a young age and just love God with all their hearts? And then there's others that are just stubborn up to their deathbed and like, I don't need God, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they had a willing heart.
Yes.
They were ready to serve the Lord at his time.
And who did God use, Marla? He used Elizabeth and Mary, who had those kind of hearts.
Exactly. They were willing and ready at any time to just say, yes, Lord.
What does that say? What does that say to us? What is God looking for?
We need to be the same way.
He's looking for people that are saying, okay, God, whatever you want to use me for.
To quote Mary, behold, the bond slave of the Lord,
yes.
Be it done to me according to your word.
Yes. Oh, that is so powerful. Mary knew God. Elizabeth knew God. Zechariah, now this is very interesting, was the religious leader. He was the priest. He was the one who should have immediately grabbed onto this message from the angel because he was the religious person.
Right. Sometimes knowledge is not a good thing. I mean, if it gets stuck in your head.
Right.
And I'm certainly not doubting Zechariah's salvation or anything because I do believe. I mean, he did.
He did.
He gave a wonderful prophecy after John's birth.
He came around.
But sometimes we tend to put God in our little box and think this is how God has to act. And, you know, but I have to wonder, and I thought about this morning when you were preaching on this, didn't Zechariah remember Abraham and Sarah?
Right.
I mean, Abraham was a whole lot older, I'm sure, than Zechariah, and Sarah was a whole lot older than Elizabeth. And yet look what happened to them.
Right.
They had a son, Isaac.
Yes.
Who was another one whose name was given before he was born.
Exactly.
You know, I just marveled at that because it hit me this morning. I thought, what? Zechariah had to be younger than Abraham, and yet he doubted what the angel said?
Well, it begs the question, why did he do that, which we're going to talk about in our 5 o'clock hour. But Psalm 113, guys, I was reading this week. And I did not know exactly where the sermon or the radio show was going. This was earlier in the week. And I stumbled upon this verse of scripture that I don't remember the last time I read it, but it is Psalm 113, and it's the last verse of Psalm 113. In my Message Bible says this, He gives, meaning God, childless couples a family. Gives them joy as the parents of children. Hallelujah. This is not a new thing that God gives childless couples children.
Right.
Okay? And we go back, let's go back to Luke 1. Here's Zechariah who, when the angel said, God has heard your prayer, you're gonna have a son. He says, now here's what we want to look at. He says, this child is going to be very special. This child is going to prepare the way for the Messiah. And that's why we started the show today with that song from Winona. It's the Messiah, because it's all about Jesus, guys. Yeah. Everything is about Jesus. It's all about the Messiah coming to this earth. And Zechariah says to the angel in Luke 1, verse 18, "Do you expect me to believe this?"
Mine says, "How shall I know this?" How shall I know this is going to happen?
Exactly. I don't know what translation you have there, Marla. Luke 1, verse 18. What did Zechariah say to the angel? Luke 1, verse 18.
How can I be sure that this is going to happen?
Oh, how can I? Oh, that's an interesting translation.
I'm an old man now. Uh-huh. And my life is well along in years.
Okay. How do I know this is going to happen? Oh, my.
Same as saying prove it.
Right. Ooh. Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, and I'm sure you're going to teach on what Mary's response to what the angel told her. Her response was totally different. It's not, how can this be, or you don't expect me to believe this. It's, okay, how will this be? And that's a subtle, but it's such an important difference. Not how can this possibly be, but
that's huge difference.
How is this not, you know,
how are you going to do this?
How is this going to happen? I believe it's going to happen. Just tell me how you're going to do it.
That and mm-hmm. That is such a huge point, because that is the response Mary had. Mm-hmm. And that is why God had picked her, because he knew that she would had a believing heart. And when this show today, guys, by the end, when we sign off at 6 o'clock, I want your faith level to go up. I want you to be working on your believing heart, you know? Go on.
And I just want to make one quick comment about Mary.
You can make all the comments you want.
Don't you think when the angel gave this announcement to her and she asked this question and Gabriel explained it to her, don't you think all of heaven and I'm sure all of hell waited for her answer?
For Mary's answer.
And Mary said, "Behold, I'm the bond slave of the Lord.
Yep.
Be it done to me according to your word."
Woo. That'll preach.
Oh, amen. Amen.
Because Mary, but God already knew her heart.
Right.
And you know, when God says about David, you know, he wasn't perfect. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He did all kinds of things. But God said about David,
a man after his own heart.
Because God saw and he sees into our hearts. And what is he looking for? He says, faith is a grain of mustard seed. Mm-hmm. Give me a tiny little bit of faith right here, guys. That's what God is looking for. And Zechariah, the religious leader, guys, didn't have it.
Well, doesn't it all boil down to the relationship? If you have a relationship versus you're just going through the motions.
Right.
It's all about relationship, isn't it?
It's a relationship you have with the Lord.
Now, Zechariah should have had that. Come on. Mm-hmm. He's the priest. He's the high priest. He's the one.
Well, then again, you can go through the motions. You can do all the right things. But what kind of relationship do you have with him, with God?
Amen. And I agree with you, Marla. And I also believe this is why a lot of people are not in church today.
Right.
Because so many church leaders have failed them in their mm-hmm. eyes, have hurt them, have fallen from grace, quote unquote.
And not been the example that they needed to follow.
Exactly. And so a lot of people have walked away and said, hey, if that's what, you know, following God's all about. But that's not what it's about. It's not about our eyes on leaders, although we as humans tend to do that. But Zechariah here was not a pillar of faith. Zechariah was a pillar of doubt and unbelief. Don't you think? And he said, wait a minute, I don't know about this. You know, I'm old. Elizabeth's old. I don't know. Now, what the angel said, and this is verse 19 before we go to station identification. The angel says, I'm Gabriel. Whoa. I mean, this is the big kahuna right here. This is Gabriel. This is the one that comes to Mary shortly, right? I am Gabriel, the sentinel of God, sent especially to bring you this glad news. But because you won't believe me, you'll be unable to say a word until the day of your son's birth. Every word I've spoken to you will come true on time, God's time.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
That's the way it is.
Wow. Let's go to station identification. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. Arkansas's been added, hasn't it, Matt? So that's cool. We're glad. And we are excited that you've joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are headquartered in Clearwater, Florida. We are a global ministry around the world. You can find us at beaconofhopeministries.com. And go there, and that's Beacon of Hope. I say it pretty loud, so let me show, I mean, pretty fast. Beacon of Hope Ministries.
.com.
I-E-S on the end of there. And we have a wonderful website and a great webmaster, Maxine, and we've just revamped our whole website. So go there and visit us there and find out all about us. We are in Luke chapter 1 today on Living the Good Life. We've started our Christmas series. I forgot to say what the title of the Christmas series is.
What's the title of the Christmas series?
What is? All right. Thanks for asking. The God of the Impossible.
Amen.
The God of the Impossible. And by the end of December, Marla, what's going to happen to people that are listening on the radio and coming to church at Beacon of Hope?
They're going to change that sentence to the God of Possibilities.
Woo! All right. Absolutely. The God of Possibilities.
And their faith is going to grow.
Yes. Absolutely. Now we look at Zechariah here, guys, and Pastor Jim and Marla are here with me in the studio, part of our radio team, and some of you out there know we have quite a few people on our radio team, several, and we're so excited and blessed every time you two can join us here. I always enjoy talking with you. And yes, I say that to everybody. But anyway, but no, you know what I do. I love our team. It's great. Zechariah, this priest, goes in here, has an opportunity to believe God, but doesn't. Did God forgive him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, first of all, we establish that God accepts and understands our humanity.
Exactly. Well, Scripture says in Psalm 103, he knows we are but dust. You know, he knows what we're made out of.
Exactly.
And this was a teaching opportunity.
Oh, that's cool. What do you mean by that, Marla?
Well,
what's a teaching opportunity?
It's where one of his children is in need of coaching. And so he gives us an opportunity where we will learn.
Right.
And Zechariah definitely learned from this.
It was sort of a come to Jesus meeting.
There you go. I was watching our Tampa Bay Bucks earlier and while I was working at the same time and saw young Josh Freeman, our quarterback. And they were saying, you know, he's got to get in there. He's got to try. He's got to, you know, but like he threw three or four interceptions. And they said, well, that's how you learn. The commentators were going, well, that's how you learn, you know. Bam, he throws it. He's got to be trusted. We are the same way. That's a good point, Marla. We are given opportunities. Yes, sometimes we mess up, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't walk in the faith that we should have.
Or make the right choices that we should
have. Or make the right choices.
Right.
And the great thing to know is that God has known since before time began that we were going to make those wrong choices.
Right.
Which is why, and I firmly believe that's why Romans chapter 8:38 is so true, because God already knows. That's how he can make all things work for our good, even when we screw up.
Yes.
Or even when, you know, disaster, even, you know, may not be something we did, but when something happens to us.
Right.
God has already known this.
Yes. Yes.
Since before time began. And that's why he can make all things work together for our good.
Absolutely.
Like he did here with Zechariah. Who'd want to be stuck, you know, struck dumb, you know, to use the old term, but speechless.
Speechless.
He's mute.
Yeah.
And apparently also deaf.
God pushed the mute blah, blah, blah,
the mute button.
The mute button on him.
And apparently also deaf.
Deaf, right.
I mean, when John was born, they had to give him a...
Right.
He couldn't talk, and apparently he couldn't hear. They had to make signs to him.
Right, yeah.
So that was an attention getter, you know, for him. But, I mean, and I know you're going to get into this.
No, you go ahead.
I think God did that for a very good reason.
Talk about that.
Well, look, Zechariah said, excuse me, I'm too old.
Right.
My wife's too old. God says, no. I'm not having this. Because our words are powerful.
Oh.
What we say is so powerful.
Yes.
Proverbs 18:21. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And sometimes God has to shut people up.
Absolutely.
Like he did with Zechariah, because Zechariah had that, I believe, two different things. He had, just needed to shut him up so he didn't keep speaking negative things. And also it was like an attention getter. Okay, fine. I'm not even getting, you know, you don't believe what I said. You're not going to be able to tell anybody until the birth of the son.
Exactly. In fact, I think it's interesting. God did not want Zechariah's negativity and his comments of unbelief and doubt to get in there and affect
Elizabeth.
The fertilization of this child.
Exactly.
He didn't want Zechariah spewing out, that's an interesting word, spewing out negativity. He didn't want that coming out of his mouth.
Well, okay.
Go ahead.
Just think.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be Zechariah. Marla's going to be Elizabeth.
All right. Go ahead,
You're
guys.
You're not going to believe what happened to me in the temple today. This Gabriel appeared to me and told me we're going to have a son.
Oh,
can
ridiculous.
You believe that?
No.
Exactly, because I believe that Elizabeth, who was faithful,
right,
she might have been carried away by Zechariah's
story.
Negativity.
But plus, that was her husband. And
right.
in those days, you know, he was the leader of the family, and what he says goes.
Right.
So if he's going to tell me
and
no.
And he's a priest.
Yeah, he's a priest. So, of course, I'm going to follow his lead, whatever he says.
Right.
You two make a good Zechariah and Elizabeth.
Thank
we
you.
Can do something with this, I'm
we'll
thinking. I'm thinking here what we can do with this.
But
no, that was good. That
and,
was
and
good.
Elizabeth, and in those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach, my shame among the people." Because to
right.
be barren at that point in time, that was seen as almost a curse from God.
It was.
And yet, it wasn't a curse, obviously. But God wanted this birth of John the Baptist to be so special.
Impossible.
One of those
he wanted it to be impossible.
Right.
A miracle.
It was a miracle
right.
birth.
Okay, I've got to throw this sentence out. And those of you listening, write this down. I'll give you time to get your pen. It's not a miracle unless it's an impossibility. You can't have a miracle without an impossibility. Okay, this whole month of December, we are going to major on the impossible situations in our lives and how God does have an answer. He has a miracle around the corner for you. He's just waiting for you to get in line to receive it, get in the right position. And for Zechariah, guys, I got to get off my preaching horse here, but and just talk to you about
preach
it.
On.
But you know what? For Zechariah, he had to be shut up.
Yeah.
Right.
I want us to talk about this because I believe that all of us need to hear this brought home today because this is kind of a different angle than I was going to take today's service and this radio show. But this morning, the anointing, back to that, was so strong. I knew that there were people in our congregation, and me included, that needed to hear that what comes out of our mouths is life or death. And I'm glad you brought that up. What was that again?
Proverbs 18:21.
Proverbs 18:21.
Life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Okay.
You know, and I've taken that to heart for years, and, you know, sometimes you think, well, it's just, I don't mean anything by it, but our words are powerful.
Exactly.
And you can't take them back.
Once they're out, they're hurtful. Right. And, you know, God used the word, he spoke the world into existence. He spoke his son Jesus into this earth. All of it is done by the speaking of the word. Jesus, when he was being, you know, in the wilderness with Satan and tempted three times, his response to Satan for all of those three temptations, and that's Luke chapter 4, was, "It is written," and then he quoted scripture. So it is powerful what comes out of our mouths, but why don't we understand that? Let's talk about that a minute. What does Satan do to our emotions, our minds, to get us to not understand the power in our words? What does he do?
Disbelief. He puts disbelief in our mind.
Okay.
He makes us want to feel insignificant, that God can't use us. We're not Moses. We're not, you know, Abraham. We're not of the Old Testament.
Right.
Before Jesus.
Yeah, who are we?
Who are we? We're not the Pope.
Yeah, how can God use us, you know? So he belittles us. He talks to our minds. What are you thinking?
And we live in a fallen world. And if all Satan has to do is to get our focus off of the word.
Yeah.
I mean, all you have to do is listen to a news program.
Oh, yeah.
Or
that'll do it.
You know,
or family members.
Or family members.
Oh, that'll do it too.
because we live in a fallen world, and we live in, you know, in a sense, in a negative,
right?
You know, negatively charged world.
Yes,
war-focused.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
violence.
Right. Violence. Yes.
And so it's easy for us to focus on those things, but remember in Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, "Don't just babble on about your circumstances, but speak to the mountain."
Mark 11:23-25. Yes, speak to the mountain.
Right. Don't talk about it. It's great because it doesn't say don't talk about the mountain. It says speak to the mountain and command it to be thrown into the sea. Doesn't say doesn't say to talk about the mountain. It says talk to it and command it to go.
Right. Don't tell God about how big your problems are.
I was thinking the same
thing,
Marla.
Tell your problems how big your God is.
There you go. Isn't that fantastic? I was thinking the same thing. Joel Osteen says that. You know, stop talking to your God about how big your mountains are. Mm-hmm. That's what Joel Osteen said, I think.
Yeah.
And instead, start talking to your mountains about how big your God is. Wow. How great is our God? We as humans tend to look at the negative, like Zechariah did here. Elizabeth and I are too old. We can't have a child. Okay? So God shuts him up and says, wait a minute, you're not going to be allowed to spew that stuff out of there. You're going to sit quiet and listen. Don't you think that's an important lesson to us?
Yeah, what an advantage they had. I mean, my God, God sent an angel, a messenger to him,
right,
and told him what was going to happen.
He didn't even Twitter him.
No.
Or
no.
Facebook him.
No, I mean, directly sent right there. You
There's
see
an angel.
An angel appeared.
I think more people would believe a Twitter or a Facebook than an angel. Honestly, these days, don't you? I mean,
today,
it's just.
We don't have an angel sent.
Right.
You know?
But we have the word.
We do. And God speaks to us through the word and through other people and through, you know, this is what's so great about the radio show and about the church.
Right.
Because we get together and God is present.
Yes.
You know, and we see miracles happen. We lift ourselves up. We lift others up. It's a unity.
It's the unity. It's getting together. And we've been adding to our number recently. And you out there in Radio Land, if you're in the Tampa Bay area or if you come visit, come and join us and see what you think. Because I tell you what, we are a bunch of fun, excited people about God. But also it's that fellowship of the people that are in like mind, you know, and want to learn the principles of God.
And amen.
And it's an anointing
rhema
word that we get.
Amen.
You know?
And that's what this is right here for us today. I believe that we need to each take this to heart and realize that God thought this was so serious that he took a huge step and preserved this story for thousands of years, for all eternity, that Zechariah, his high priest, had to have his mouth shut so he wouldn't counter affect, or that's not even the right word, so that he wouldn't sabotage. Sabotage God's plan. You want to comment on that?
Well, and that's so true. And you think, well, golly, could we really do that? And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, you know, we're going to be judged for every idle, useless, I want to say lame, but that's not... That's God's word. Unproductive.
Right.
You know, unfruitful word that we say.
Right.
You know, because our words, and Jesus said, by your words you'll be condemned, by your words you'll be justified.
Absolutely. So important. Let's go to Magnificent by Hillsong, and we're going to come back and get more into this story with Marla and Pastor Jim.
Call forth songs of joy as the morning wanes. We, your children, give you praise. You are magnificent, eternally.
Jesus. No one can compare to him. We are all about Jesus, a Beacon of Hope, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. That's why we do this and why we've been doing it for 8+ years now as Beacon of Hope Ministries and on the air for 2.5. It's because it's all about Jesus, the Messiah. If you just joined us, you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Go with us to Luke chapter 1. We're talking about Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, who were the parents of John the Baptist. I think most people have heard of John the Baptist.
Yes.
Maybe not a lot of people have heard of Zechariah and his story and how God shut him up for 9+ months
mm-hmm.
and didn't allow him to talk. But Elizabeth, interestingly, received the miracle. She was full of a heart for God, and she did conceive way past the age of when she should have been able to,
right,
and did have the child. And so we are looking here in Luke chapter 1, and I want to look over to about verse 39, and we're going to skip a little part of what happened to Mary, because everybody knows about Mary, but we're not talking about Mary today. We're talking about Elizabeth. Mary was the cousin of Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was the first one to get pregnant, an older, much older cousin than Mary. Mary was only 13 to 15 years old.
Right.
Elizabeth had to be well past childbearing age, so I would say she was close to my age. Meh. Anyway, just guessing. All right, so she was up there, all right? And Elizabeth believed God and received the miracle and became pregnant with this child, John the Baptist. Now, we were just talking in the last segment about how important our words are and how our words can encourage us, uplift us, or defeat us. And we find here that Mary, after she is impregnated by the Holy Spirit with the Son of God, Jesus, goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And we don't know whether she knew Elizabeth was pregnant or not. We don't really know that, do we, Pastor Jim?
No, I mean, she might have. It'd been 6 months.
And right. Yeah.
So they could have gotten a message to her.
Right.
But I think it's important that I honestly doubt that Elizabeth knew that Mary was pregnant.
Right. She would probably not have known that at all, because it just happened.
At least she didn't until Mary got there.
Right. Because what happened when Mary got there?
When Mary got there, she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth.
Right.
And it says,
here's that anointing we're talking about, right?
And it says in verse 41, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you, Mary, among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." I mean,
how did she know that?
Exactly. I mean, that was the anointing.
That's the anointing.
The
of
anointing
God.
Was there, and she actually. Basically got the gift of the word of knowledge.
Right. And she immediately knew Mary was pregnant.
Right.
Now, Mary shouldn't have been pregnant. I mean, because
she was still a virgin.
She was a virgin. She was engaged to be married. But during the engagement, that was not something
you did not have sex
during that time.
No.
So here's Elizabeth greeting her little cousin. And suddenly the baby within Elizabeth, you're saying, was just jumping and screaming and hollering inside. And that's John.
And it's so important, too, because she says, "And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?"
Yes.
You know, she had that revelation knowledge.
Revelation.
That it was the Son of God inside Mary's womb. Because normally you would think, and I don't know if Mary was showing yet, but you would think, "Excuse me? You're 15 and you're pregnant.
Right.
What in the world are you going to do, girl?"
But it wasn't like that at all.
No. I mean,
Holy Spirit came over her.
Exactly.
Right.
Otherwise, that would not have been her welcome.
Right. Her welcome would have been, "You adulteress, get out of my house."
Exactly. The stoner.
Exactly.
Well, that was the punishment. Exactly,
right.
Marla.
Yeah. You know. But instead, talk about the anointing and God telling her what was happening here.
That's what God does even today. He just, Spirit just comes over you, and you have a knowing. You have a knowledge from within that didn't come from your consciousness.
Because God lives in us.
Right.
Okay? In fact, it's prophesied in Isaiah that this virgin, Isaiah 7:14, the virgin was going to get pregnant and have a child, and it would be, the child would be Emmanuel.
God with us.
God with us. Okay? God with us and in us. And that was going to be the title of my series during December this year. That's what I thought yesterday until early this morning when I kept hearing in my spirit the God of the impossibilities, you know, the God of the impossible. And I suddenly realized that's the direction we need to take this, because this situation for Mary, for Elizabeth, for Zachariah, all these key players.
And Joseph, who's not mentioned in that particular narrative. But
all impossible the same situations. Thing.
I mean, and you look in Matthew at Joseph's reaction at first was pretty much like Zechariah's.
Right.
I mean, he said, I mean, he realized Mary's pregnant. What am I going to do? According to the law, she should, as Marla said, she should be taken out and stoned as an adulteress. And yet the angel, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, no, this child, you know, was born of the Holy Spirit. You're going to call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
Amen.
And unlike Zechariah, Joseph didn't argue. He said, okay.
Yes.
And he agreed then to become basically Jesus' foster father.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the God with us is the series because it is through God being with us and in us that we can handle the impossibilities and
not as a
non-believer, non-Christian would handle it through violence or rage or murder, you know, but instead seeking God.
Amen.
For direction and guidance.
And God with us is the Messiah who decided, God in his infinite wisdom. But it was clear back from the very beginning, which we can't wrap our minds around the beginning of time because there really is no beginning. So this was always in the mind and plan of God to send his son to this earth.
Exactly.
Always. This wasn't just an afterthought. Oh, I think I'll send my son.
Well, and some people think that when Adam and Eve sinned, when they fell, that God had to come up with this plan.
No.
God knew.
He knew.
When he gave Adam and Eve free will, what they were going to do. And he already had Jesus waiting. I mean, he already knew what was going to happen.
Exactly.
What would have to happen in order to redeem us.
Exactly. He knew. He knew. There was no doubt about it. So all along, we've got a preparation for the Messiah going on. Okay? Now, the thing that sets Christians apart from traditional Jewish folks, correct me if I'm wrong here, Pastor Jim, you're a scholar on these things, is that Christians believe that Jesus is the Messiah.
Is the Messiah.
And the Jews believe that the Messiah has not yet come.
Right.
Correct?
In general. There are, praise God, an
there
increasing
are
number
Jews,
of Jewish people who have come to believe that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah.
Right.
And that just going to toss this in. That's a sign. That's a sign of Jesus' near return because, you know, that Israel would start turning to the Messiah.
Amen. Amen. But for centuries, let's say 2,000 years, the common thing was that the Jewish person did not believe Jesus has come to this earth yet.
Right. And as Paul says,
there's no Messiah yet.
Right. As Paul says in Romans, there is always a believing remnant of Jews, but the
great number
turning to the Messiah has not yet occurred.
They believe that he was a great prophet, that he was a good man, but they only believe in the first five books of the Bible.
Right. So the Torah, and they believe in some of the prophets, and but still the concept is
what a Jewish person told me anyway.
Oh, okay.
Well, they were Sadducean,
So that is a common belief, but the whole bottom line is they didn't see Jesus.
They did not accept him as
the Messiah.
Right. And they still don't.
We are today and where Christian people in general are, whether you're a Presbyterian, a Methodist, a Baptist, or charismatic like we are, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth, took on a human form, lived among us, showed us the Father in all of his compassion, mercy, grace, healing, all of it, and lived, died, and rose again.
And it's our example to follow.
Yes. And that's the difference, you know. We believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Okay, I want to make sure everybody out there understands that.
And it doesn't matter about the denomination.
Right.
You can be a Methodist or a Baptist.
No, it doesn't.
The main is believing in Jesus.
Amen.
That's the main point of our following.
Okay. I agree.
As a Christian.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. And so let's get our hearts. Let's look at this, Pastor Jim and Marla, from the aspect of preparation for the Messiah. Okay? We see that God here with Zechariah took a situation where Zechariah could have actually just defeated the whole miracle by his mouth, right? And God said, you know what? I'm not going to let you do that. I'm going to shut you up, buddy. You know? I'm going to shut you up. But Zechariah was teamed up with Elizabeth, who had a heart after God, who did receive the miracle. I've throw this out at you. I think sometimes we look at our situations, and they may seem so difficult, but God has placed somebody in your life to pray for you, to speak truth to you. And you right now listening today, you may feel that you're at the pit of despair in whatever situation's going on. And I propose to you today, God's already preparing the way for you to really receive the message this Christmas season. Mm-hmm. Not about shopping. Finally, our nation's getting away from that, right? It's not about, they're still shopping. But I mean, with the economic downturn, I think things have really taken on a different tone here in the last couple of years. People begin to realize it's not about how many presents I can get under the tree. It's about the love and the that generous spirit. Go ahead, Marla.
It's also about keeping Christ in Christmas.
Amen.
This happy holiday, that sounds wonderful, but it's Merry Christmas.
Yes.
And we need to keep Christ in Christmas.
Amen.
Amen. Know? And so now with the new wave of thought, the way that the young people are going today, focused on these games of violence and just
horrible
hostility and murder, you know, that's even more important why the church needs to stay together in unity and show love to one another.
Right.
You know, and also keep Christ focused. That's important,
Amen.
Whether it be Christmas or throughout the year.
Absolutely. So we need to prepare our hearts, and we've talked about this. Let's listen to Amy Grant's song, and then we're going to come back and talk more about how do we prepare our hearts for this Messiah, and what do we want God to do in us this Christmas season, different maybe than it's ever been before, you know? Emmanuel, God with us. Amy Grant, old song, great song.
We stoke the fire, we breathe the evergreen. Young ones wait while the old ones make up tales of how it used to be. China dolls, candy corn. Treasures found to the wondrous sound of caroling the Savior born to us on Christmas morn.
Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel.
God with us, Emmanuel. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we're talking today about Luke chapter 1 and Mary and Elizabeth, who became vital to the plan of God. And, I mean, God looked down in history and said, I can use those two right there.
And it's cool that they were related.
Cousins, yeah.
Because, I mean, which, of course, made Jesus and John the Baptist related. And
right.
that's kind of cool, too.
Yes. The importance of family.
Right.
Sticking together, you know.
And
isn't that cool?
And
church family, too.
That's right.
And so that way, Mary didn't have to go to some stranger.
Right.
To have that baby leap in that strange woman's womb.
No.
I mean, it was just a natural thing. I heard my cousin's pregnant. I'm going to go see her because this is a great thing.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, boom. Elizabeth gets this blessing.
Right. And Elizabeth begins to talk about, let's look at that. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, starting in about, I don't know, with the Message Bible, I'm never sure, where Elizabeth says, you're so blessed among women, she says to Mary, because we were talking earlier how the anointing of God, the very presence of God, hit Elizabeth. When Mary walked in,
right.
It was just like, boom, you know, that anointing, because she knew, oh, my God is doing something incredible.
Right?
We talked today about God wanting to surprise us. And I want everybody out there in Radio Land, get your heart ready for the surprises of God. They're coming. I'm telling you prophetically, they are coming. The surprises of God are coming, and they're going to bless your socks off. God is going to do that miracle. He's going to do the miracle of healing for the eyes of the one listening right now. God is going to do the healing for the back that has got somebody all tied up in knots in your physical body. God is going to do the healing in your mind, and it's going to set you free. Look for the surprise. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I'm telling you right now. Woo!
Well, and going on with what Elizabeth said, she said, for behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she, referring to Mary, who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. That's a promise for all of us. We're all blessed if we believe that there's going to be a fulfillment of what was spoken to us by the Lord. When God gives us one of those, as Marlon mentioned earlier, a rhema word, an individual specific word for us.
Yes.
We are blessed.
Amen.
When we believe that God's going to fulfill that.
Absolutely.
You know, and you had mentioned while the song was going on, I mean, bringing it down to the people who are listening.
Yes.
What promise has God given you that maybe hasn't been fulfilled yet? But just remember, believe that there's going to be that fulfillment. I mean, I know in my own life, I'd been prayed over this was eons ago, probably around 30 years ago.
Wow.
That
you're older.
I know that I'd be pastoring, that I'd be, you know, praising God. And circumstances happened in my life, and I thought, that ain't going to happen.
Right.
Just because of what, you know, I'll be honest, because I was gay. I figured, God can't use me.
Right.
And yet.
God can.
God can, and God did, because, you know, he just keeps reminding me of, I gave you this promise.
Right.
And, you know, I just read recently in Timothy about, don't forget, you had this, you had hands laid on you. The elders prophesied over you.
Exactly.
God brought it again back to my attention. I made these promises to you years ago, and I've not pulled them back. I've not taken them back from. I've not pulled them away from you. I'm still going to fulfill them completely. And
exactly.
I know it started to happen. Praise God! I moved to Florida, got into Beacon of Hope.
Amen.
And so it started. And you know,
you can see God's hand,
amen.
The surprise.
Because I fought moving to Florida.
But the surprise that God really is going to do the things he said he's going to do.
Right.
That's with Elizabeth and with Mary, both of them carrying children
right.
that basically have come from God. These are really special, especially Mary. That was, born of the Holy Spirit, seed of the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth was a natural birth, but yet
still
supernatural
impossible.
And impossible. Marla, don't we need God to supernaturally surprise us and turn our world upside down at this Christmas season?
Especially when you're faced with hardship or with it, what seems to be totally impossible situation.
Right.
You just have to get into a quiet place and just pray and
yes.
give it to God. Just one-on-one. Talk to him as
point.
If he's in the room and he's your
good
father.
Point.
And just give it to him and then believe with all your heart that he's going to take care of it. Just as it says in Luke 1:45, that you are blessed because you believe that the Lord
yes.
will do what he said. God says that give him your burdens.
Right.
His yoke is lighter than what we have around
right.
our necks that
right.
we're sinking with. And just believe and then wait patiently but expectantly. Act as if he told you the truth and just,
right.
Just let it be attracted into your life. It's not in our time. It's in God's time. And if you need help
Ooh.
While you wait, give somebody a call who's a believer.
Right.
Pull
Amen.
Strength from one another.
Yes.
Because that's another area where Satan gets in there and distracts us and tries to get us into negativity. Sometimes the promise, it's a promise. And
right.
That doesn't mean it's going to happen like that.
Exactly.
It may not be instantaneous. I mean, look how long.
Oh.
Let's be honest. The first prophecy concerning the Messiah was given right after Adam and Eve sinned.
So
we're talking 6,000 years between that promise and its fulfillment.
God doesn't get in a hurry,
years,
does he?
Right. 700 years from when Isaiah prophesied.
Exactly.
And yet God's timing is perfect.
Perfect.
And that's what, that's the whole point here. In Luke chapter 1, his timing is perfect.
Right.
I mean, think about when the Messiah came. Most of the known world was in the Roman Empire. And
right
the Romans were great road builders. It was a perfect time because after the resurrection of Jesus, after Pentecost, the apostles could pretty much go anywhere. I mean, look at Paul.
Right.
He took those Roman roads all across
exactly
the whole eastern part of the empire.
Right.
And spreading
got
the gospel.
Out.
Amen. And
good point.
It was the perfect time. Well, God says in Galatians at just the right time.
Right. Perfect time.
Perfect
it's
time.
It's always God's timing. And that is what is the surprise, I think, a lot of times. We get going in our natural lives and our busy lives, and we just kind of forget that we're expecting this miracle. Or we forget that, God's going to do a big surprise here. We forget it,
Right. I mean, things have to happen
right.
sequentially
right.
in order to prepare us for it and also
right.
to prepare just life in general for it. I mean,
exactly.
Jesus could have come from Sarah.
Right.
But instead, he wanted all the glory brought to himself justifiably.
Right.
And all the events had to happen.
Exactly.
And all the prophecy had to be told prior to the Messiah coming at the right time. And therefore,
Ooh.
It was a miracle and it was a deliverance.
Good point, Marla.
And I don't remember what the exact statistics are. I'll have to go home and look it up. But for Jesus to have fulfilled all of those
mm-hmm.
prophecies,
right.
for those to all be fulfilled in one person,
it's
trillions. And
right.
One in trillions or something.
It's amazing, those numbers.
It's certainly more than there have ever been people alive.
Right.
So, I mean, that is just amazing.
The God of the impossible.
Exactly. Here's all these diverse prophecies fitting together
exactly.
and coming down to one person, which is mm-hmm. Jesus the Messiah.
Exactly. Amen. You said something a minute ago, Marla, about listening to God. I find it interesting. Zechariah was shut up so he could not talk the negativity. And basically, all he could do was listen. Think about that.
It was unacceptable from him because of his position. I mean, he was, a high priest believing in God and all that.
Right.
For him to talk back, well, hey, God has feelings. You know, he will stop you.
But if it's true that he was also deaf and dumb, and we don't really know that for sure, but it kind of looks that way. It seems the scriptures indicate he wasn't hearing anything anyway.
Right.
He wasn't hearing people around him either. He was just hearing God. Mm-hmm. And exactly. So often we've got to get ourselves in a position to hear God. That may mean turn the TV off for a while.
Right.
It may mean shut down the computer, log off for a few minutes, you know.
Go into a quiet place.
Put your phone on vibrate. Do something to be alone with God. And I tell you, that happens to me in the early hours, sometimes in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. But invariably, 5 o'clock, 5:15, when I don't really want to wake up yet, you know, the dogs aren't going to get up till I know what their schedule is, 10 till 7 or 6:40 or something like that. And then I'm wide awake, and it's like God's going, okay, let's have a little chat.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wants our attention, and he wants us to listen to him. Today we're talking about preparing our hearts for the coming of the Messiah. And it's not just preparing yourself for the festivities of Christmas.
Right.
It is preparing your heart to have a place where God can come and fill you up with his anointing and his presence like never before.
And also, how can you be a reflection for him? How can you be a representative for God for someone else? What can you do as loving
Amen.
God and be his representative? How can you love and bless someone else during
use
this season?
Use me, Lord,
right.
Use me. Woo! Talk to me, you guys, about how God prepares us to accept that anointing, that presence. We see what happened to Zechariah. Obviously, Mary and Elizabeth prepared their hearts
right.
by worship. We see in the first part of Luke here where Mary and Elizabeth are praising God. It was we just got done with that series, that Beacon of Hope on praise. But Mary and Elizabeth both understood thanks, and they understood praising and worship. Those three things. They understood it. They did it.
Well, and look at the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
What were the after Jesus ascended into heaven,
right.
It says, you know, the apostles returned with great joy to Jerusalem. They went to the upper room. They spent that time in prayer and worship.
Yes.
For 10 days, they spent that time in prayer and worship.
Wow.
And the Holy Spirit fell.
Right.
Fell on them and filled them.
Woo.
You know, so sometimes that's what it takes to prepare
takes
our hearts.
Preparation
yeah.
to receive.
And, you know, on kind of the flip side of the coin is sometimes God will allow us to get into circumstances, because sometimes we need to have a come to Jesus meeting with God.
There you go.
And, you know, he'll allow us to get into certain by our own choices,
mm-hmm.
you know. But just to kind of, I don't say knock us upside the head, but some, you know, knock us upside our spiritual head.
Right.
So that he gets our attention.
Gets our
because
attention.
Sometimes we become lukewarm or lackadaisical, or we just kind of do things we talked about earlier, just kind of doing things by memory,
right.
by rote. Yeah, okay, I'm going to read 4 chapters today, just like I read 4 chapters in the Bible yesterday. Well, sometimes God has to shake us out of that. And
yes.
You know, he prophesied in Haggai, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth.
Right.
And sometimes he has to take a hold of us and do a little shaking just so we can get
and
out of our...
And he did that with Zechariah, did he not?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
now
exactly
that really
what
shook up everybody, the community. I mean, this guy, for him not to talk all these months, huge.
Well, it says when he came out of the temple, it was because he was, I can just see him like waving his hands and trying to talk. And people realize it says in scripture that he'd seen something in
yes.
there. He'd seen a vision of some sort
right.
in there.
Right.
And
you know?
Also what came to me is get involved.
Okay.
You know, go to church, get involved.
Get involved.
You know, volunteer
Absolutely.
To do something. Volunteer to do something. Get involved somehow, because that
Touch
will
lives.
Put you into a different realm.
Touch lives.
This year, and I'm not glorifying me at all, but this year God gave me the opportunity to be a part of Elves for Elders, which is putting up a tree with names on it. These
cool.
people have very little, and they're
right.
in nursing homes.
Yeah.
And it's blessed me so much to see these gifts come in
right.
for these people.
Cool.
And it just makes me want to do so much more.
Right.
And there's opportunities like that. And also being able to do the music at church is
right.
such a blessing.
Oh, you're so
that
good at it.
That puts me into the realm. God touches my heart.
Yes.
He gives me the songs.
Right.
And it gives me time with him in a special way. Ooh. So it's a privilege to be able to give back in
Absolutely.
That way.
It's powerful, isn't it?
It makes life worth living a little
Exactly.
bit more, you know?
And all that brings me to preparing our hearts for the coming of the Lord, which I want to talk about more in just a moment. It's all because of God's great love. Let's listen to this, Max Lucado and Natalie Grant here. We may not do the whole thing because it's kind of a long thing, but we'll let you know, Matt, when to turn it off. But listen to this for a moment, then we're going to come back and wrap all this up.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Aren't you glad the verse doesn't read, for God so loved the rich, or for God so loved the famous, or for God so loved the Europeans or the Africans or the sober or successful, the young or the old? No. When we read John 3:16, we simply and happily read, for God so loved the world. How wide is God's love? Wide enough for the whole world. Are you included in the world? Then you are included in God's love. Oh, but surely there's a limit. Surely there has to be an end to his love. You'd think so, wouldn't you? But David the adulterer never found it. Paul the murderer never found it. Peter the liar never found it. When it came to life, they did hit bottom. But when it came to God's love, they never did. When asked to describe the width of his love, Jesus stretched one hand to the right and the other to the left and had them nailed in that position so you would know he died loving you.
Because of love, he left his throne and made this earth his home. He did it willingly for you.
Our music director for the radio show did an excellent job on the music today, yep. as she always Amen. Does. Again, listening to God's spirit and knowing, not knowing where our conversation was going to go, but God just just doing that. All right, who wants to be first? Give me some final thoughts. What's God saying? You want to be first, Marla?
Certainly.
All right.
Open your heart. Open your mind. Tell God you love him.
Yes.
And wait for him to talk back.
Woo! There she boiled it right down, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, she did.
That's right on.
And he will.
He will.
He will.
He does talk to us,
people,
doesn't he?
He does almost directly.
Yes.
You could feel the presence of God. When he
yes.
comes into you, into the room, into someone else, you know it.
Right.
You just know it. And that's what's so great about being a Christian is because we have the honor and the privilege to
yes.
feel him and
Woo.
Have him interact with us. And other people just don't get it. They
yeah.
think we're just Jesus freaks.
Right. We
well,
are.
Well, call me a freak. That's okay.
Been there, done that.
Wow.
I mean, you know.
Yes, the powerful presence of God in our lives is real. It's real.
Oh, I've had so many miracles I don't feel deserving.
Right.
You know, it's unbelievable. It's mind-boggling. It's hard for me to believe.
You've had impossible situations.
Oh, he has just come.
Breast
what?
Cancer, healed
me?
Of breast cancer. Marla is a walking miracle.
I mean, who am I to have
wow.
received all this?
Yes. And God wants to do more, Marla, in this new year oh. for you and for each of us and for all those listening today. Pastor Jim, what are some final thoughts you've got on your heart? Because we can see you just like your little wheels are turning.
Well, it's like I look at Zechariah and I look at Mary and their different responses. And I think what really stood out to me this morning and in our conversation this afternoon is, as difficult as it may be sometimes, don't be surprised or draw back in fear when God does surprise you with
yes.
like with a new word from him. Because
yes.
I've had that happen in my own life where God says, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And it's like, no, because I got to maybe give something up or I have to change in some
mm-hmm.
way. I have
to, right, because we don't
growth,
like to change. Yeah.
Even spiritual growth is change, and we don't
right.
like that sometimes.
Right.
But, excuse me, I look at Mary and I see she wasn't afraid.
Right.
Because, again, I just love that verse. I love it. I love it. Behold, I'm the bond slave of the Lord.
Yes.
Be it done to me according to your word. And what that word bond slave means, if I can just
go ahead,
squeeze this in real quickly.
Go ahead.
Back in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, it talks about Hebrew men and women who might give themselves to another person for 7 years to be their servant.
Right.
At the end of that 7 years, they are, you know, they have the right then to go free. However, if they say, I love my master
mm-hmm.
and I choose to stay with him, what they would do would be take their ear.
Yes.
And the master would drive, the master of the house would drive an awl through the ear.
Right.
Which symbolically made them then a bond slave.
Like a screwdriver.
Yeah. They were that person's then slave
yes.
for life. They gave up their rights to think on their own or whatever.
Right.
And that's exactly what Mary was saying here in Luke chapter 1. That's what I am. I'm surrendering totally to God.
Whoa. And aren't we glad she did?
Because Amen.
That surrender Amen. That God saw in her heart caused him to plant his seed in her.
And that's
the Messiah.
And that's what Marla mentioned before. You know, that's one of our examples in the word is be it done to me according to your word.
Yes. Praise God. Mighty, mighty. So all of you listening out there today, what needs to happen in your life during this Christmas season? It's not about what you buy and the gifts under the tree. It's about what happens on the inside
Amen.
Of you this December. Is it going to be a life-changing event for you the next few weeks, or is it going to be just business as usual? I am believing God for our listeners, for this radio show, and also those who come to Beacon of Hope Ministries, that this December of 2009 is going to be the life changer that they have dreamed about but never really saw. The surprises that God has for us are going to be huge, like big surprises under the tree.
Exactly. Big old gifts under the
Christmas
tree.
Big old gifts under the tree. New peace of mind, new joy, new direction, new purpose. Marla.
What gift are you going to give him?
Amen.
What gift would be appropriate to give to the Almighty God but your heart?
Your heart, your attention,
give
your time.
Give him your heart and let it show through how you Ooh. Are with other people.
Praise God. Praise God. God gave me a fresh word, as you all know. A lot of times God gives me a word from him. And this morning I got one that I don't have time now on the show to read. But if you want a copy of this, I can easily email it to you. And you can email me directly at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Com, and I'll send you a copy of this word that God gave me this morning. So interesting when you look back at this word. For instance, part of this in here is that God will make a way when there seems to be no way. And you did that song this morning, Marla.
Amen.
And see, we never know what God has in store for us. That is the surprise of God's anointing in his presence. It's been a joy to be with you. Pastor Jim, Marla, you two are a blessing to all of us at Beacon of Hope. And you fill such big shoes in everything that you do. God bless you both. Thanks a lot. We're glad you have joined us out there today in Radio Land. We want to hear from you. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can write me directly, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can come to our services Sunday at 11, Wednesday at 7. Great Bible study. Bring your Bible and a notebook and come and get ready to discuss and learn God's Word this Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Look at our website. We're at 3580 Almerton Road in Clearwater, Florida. We are so glad you have joined us. The song that we end with all the time, guys, I just love this song. We've used it since the beginning of the show. It's not far to Jesus. Amen. And for whatever's going on in your life, dear friend, it's not far to Jesus. Run to him. He is right there, ready to talk to you. Receive the Messiah this year in your heart. He's the God of the impossible.
Amen.
It's not far.